after the celebration. I really think he does this on purpose every single week.
That is a testing and proving of your heart, brother.
He is doing it on purpose. The second I start, you know what? I'm doing this on Sunday. As soon as you get on the pulpit and start preaching, you will have now, what? I'll figure something out. The meeting is recording. Anyway, since the meeting is recording, last week we talked about, you know, the beginning of chapter 9, and it was really encouraging that the celebration, the holiday, the festivities didn't take their heart away from God. It actually brought their hearts closer to God, you know. So now we see them, you know, appreciating what it meant to have the festival of the tabernacles, you know, what it meant to have the harvest and sharing and all of these things. So now they're coming for more, you know. A lot of times after holidays, think about it, after holidays, people are just like partying and having fun and all of that. But no, they came back for some more. And didn't just come back, they came back with one heart. They're fasting, they're wearing sackcloth because they felt like the sin separated them from a lot of things, from their future, from their God, from wasted so much time. It was death for them. But not just the death, but also they were putting a lot of their emotions, the flesh, the plans, all of that into death. And not only that, but they separated themselves from the foreigners. They started going back to God's commands, that when it said that don't, you know, be under the same yoke with other non-believers. They started separating themselves. Not only that, but they started repenting and asking God for forgiveness. And that's the beginning of, that's the beginning of a revival. It starts with hearing the word of God. It starts with a repenting heart. It starts with something practical where they were separating themselves from the foreigners. And we talked about last week, try to find, ask God to show you what is foreign in your life and in my life. And I really did spend a lot of time last week and this week asking God to examine my heart, you know, to find what is foreign. What is that? What is it that's not from him that he needs to get rid of? Because whatever it is that he wants to get rid of, I need to get rid of. I want to get rid of, because it has no place. It has no place in my life. Today we start with verse 5. And we will read, I think Pastor Albert can read this for us, just because the names are really hard. That's what you get for the recording thing. So verse 5, please.
All right. And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Heshbaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pedathiah said, stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen. So in chapter 8, and this chapter as well, just the verse before that, we're being introduced to some names, you know. And if the Bible is leaving these names there, and these are people that are standing in front of everyone, this means something to us. Not just meant something to them, but it means something to us and something practical. This isn't just that we're learning the name, but their lives represented something of God. So when you look at this name, Joshua, his name means God's salvation. Kadmiel means God is the ancient one. Bani means built. And this is like the fourth or fifth time we hear that name, Bani. Bani means building or building with God. And this tells you that God is trying, like through this whole chapter, or through this book, God is trying to build something. I don't know about you, but I feel like in my spirit that God is trying to build something in Arise, you know, and God is trying to build something through everyone in Arise, whether it's at Arise or somewhere else, but God is trying to build something. And that's okay, because we're all at the end of the day working for one king and for one kingdom. You know, whether we're working in this spot or that spot or any other spot, but we're all working for one kingdom. And then Hashab and Naya, okay? Yah has accounted, okay? Sherebiah means singing with God. Hodiah, the praise of the Lord. Shebaniah, Yah has sent burning heat. And then that last name, Tathahaya. Hey, the Lord opening gate or gate of the Lord. See, when you look at all these names and you look at all the meaning of the names, where you're coming from a place where the names there were, a servant of the God, the Son, or the servant of the God, this or the God, that, you know, that's what their life represented. Now that they're coming here, listening to these people, seeing these people on stages, their life represented something completely different. And as I said last week, may our names and our lives represent something, you know? So when I am in trouble, I can think, oh, you know what? I need to call Pastor Albert. When I need some wisdom, I need to call some, you know, Pastor Mike. I know he's going to give me a word of wisdom. You know, when I'm like, you know, I need some help with like translation or something, I know to go to Brother Larry. He can help me with that. Or go to Philip or go to Dahlia. If I need prayer, I definitely know where to go. You know, I know that your life, this isn't just to give you a compliment, which, you know, which is nice to give compliments to one another. That's okay. But this is the truth. You've been working on this. God has been working on this area of your life for so long that it represented this now. You know, I know where to go when I need a prayer warrior. I know where to go when I need wisdom. May God give us that power and authority and not shy away from what he wants to give us and what he wants to use in our lives. May God give us that, you know, that passion, that if I have it, I have it. I'm proud of it. You know, and may God increase it and blesses that gift and blesses that talent and use it for his glory more and more and more. Say amen.
Amen.
No, I can't hear you. I want to hear amen. Okay, fine. I'll let it go. So these people that their lives represented something spoke to the crowd and said, stand up and praise the Lord, your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. What do we say when we see the hungry crowd? Do we say, let them go, have them find someone else to eat? Or we say, no, you're in the right place. This is it. You're in the right place because the Lord your God is here. Let's stand up and praise the Lord your God. You know, it's good that you came with a humble heart. It's good that you came with, you know, sackcloth and all of that. It's good that you knew that wage of sin. It's good that you knew that your sin separated you from so much. But you know what? Right now, it's time. God heard you. God is listening to you. Stand up and praise the everlasting God. Praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, meaning that he is the beginning and he is the end. That means he was there before anything was formed, and he knows how it's going to end as well. You and I don't know how it's going to end. I barely know or remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. Did I have breakfast? I didn't have breakfast. So I barely know what I had for lunch this, but God knows it all from the beginning until all the way to the end. May God give us these words of grace. May God give us these characters of grace, that we encourage one another and we encourage other people to stand up and worship God, not scared of God, not shying away from God, not, you know, being terrified of God or acting like he's a judge or he is, you know, an executor or like one. No, he is our loving Father and he is waiting to hear from us. Verse 6, Pastor Albert.
So in verse 6, it talks about, you alone are God who made the heavens and the earth. speaking of God's ability. But right before that, we were talking about speaking to God about God. The Levites are telling the people, here's what you're to do. You're to stand up. You're to stand up and you are to bless the Lord. You're to stand up and you are to bless the Lord. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, it says the people, when they were lamenting and they had dust on their heads and they were wearing sackcloth, they were confessing their sins. And that's typically what we normally do as repentant sinners coming back to God, whether for the first time or we're already believers, but we're coming back to God again because we've strayed away. We typically want to focus on ourselves first. And Levites here are giving them instruction and they're saying, here's how you do it. Stand up and speak to God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. And Jesus had a lot to say about this in Matthew chapter 6, when he's teaching us how to pray in what we call now the Lord's Prayer. And the structure of it is to speak to God first, when he begins by saying, our Father who art in heaven, or our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, we're speaking to God about God first before we're speaking to God about ourselves or our sins or our needs, because it's putting him in his proper place. Once that happens, everything else kind of follows. But if I start with myself, I'll never get to the place where I'm able to have a meeting or an encounter with God. But I need to start with God first so that I can see him and I can have the proper perspective, the proper view of who it is that I'm speaking to. And then I can have the confidence to know that when I do confess my sins, he's there to forgive me of those sins and to cleanse me and to meet all of my needs, like give me this day our daily bread and forgive me of my sins and all the rest of it. So by putting him in his proper place first. So the Levites were critical in telling them, don't focus on yourselves first, focus on God first.
That's amazing. Really good.
Also, something that we see through the remaining scriptures that are coming up from verse 6 on, really, is the profession of God's people, the reminder of what he's already done. The stories from years past that were passed down from generation to generation, reminding them of what he's done. And it's an important point here, because really it's an important point for us right now that we can apply in our daily lives. Because was this for the benefit of God? Were they listing off all the things that God's done so that he can be high in heaven and be like, oh my gosh, yes, look at what I did. Look at the work. No, this was for their benefit. This was intentionally done as a reminder to the people of God of what God has done and what he's able to do. And this is very important for us. I think we need to, especially when we're going through something and we're really seeking God for something specific, it's very important to stir our faith. And the way to stir our faith is to remind us of the things that God's done in the past in order to remember that he is the same. The word of God says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is unchanging. And that means that if he did it before, he can do it again.
Amen. And, you know, Dalia was sharing this with us, that there are many times in our lives that we find ourselves in circumstances where we have to remind ourselves where our helps come from, you know, because during circumstances, during tough times, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to be blinded. It's easy to feel like we're alone and we can't see anything. But David said, I lift my eyes to that mountains where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If you guys remember a few weeks ago, I told you there's a spiritual practice I do for myself when things are hard or when I'm at work and I feel like the day is just keeps on getting harder and harder, or things at home or health or whatever it is. I learned, God taught me to just look up, just look out the window, make sure that the sky is still there, the sun hasn't crashed to earth, the moon's still in its place. And when I look up and see all these things are okay, I was like, okay, God is still in control. Yeah. You know, really, like he's still got this. He still has everything under control. And if he has this whole universe under control, I think my the small details in my life, I think he can handle that as well. I think he still has the strength and wisdom to handle all of these things for me. You know, our help is not coming from anyone. It's coming from God himself. You know, it's coming from the maker of heaven. It's coming from the one who gave that breath to you and to me. It's coming from the one that who put you and put me in this life and allowed us to be where we are right now. That put Arise where it is. That put your home where it is. That put your job where it is. Our help is coming from the one who put us in these areas to begin with. Amen?
Amen.
One very wise man said once said, if you don't know where God is, look where God was. That was me. I said that. I know. I said that earlier and Pastor Albert loved it. So now I'm just ruining it for him. So verse 7. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Why don't we have Pastor Albert read these names? Chaldeans.
You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you and made a covenant with him to give to his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Girgashites. You have kept your promise because you are the righteous one.
See, what they're doing right now, they're just going through the history. They're just going through God's work with them from all the way to the beginning until now. And that's good for us to do. You know, I like to always remind myself and remind each other of what God has done for us as a married couple, with our children, with our home, with our business, with anything. And I like to remind myself from the days like God has been trying to talk to me years and years ago. The days where he revealed something to me, the days that he spoke to my heart where I couldn't ignore it anymore. So right now they're going all the way back to Abraham. And just the story of Abraham, it tells you that God has searching. God has been searching. He's searching for a heart. He's searching for someone who's not perfect. He's not looking for anyone perfect. Abraham was not perfect at all. Even when God started working with him, he was still not perfect. Abraham truly did some stuff that if you tell me, like without, you know, believing the Bible that Abraham did it, I would never believe it if it was not listed in the Bible. You know, going to Egypt, the telling that his wife is his sister and like all of this mess, like things that doesn't match him, but God still saw something in him and he wanted to use that vessel for his glory. He chose him. And he changed him from Abram to Abraham. And I think Pastor Albert has a comment about that.
One idea that came forth was that it took the breath of the living God that spoke him from Abram to Abraham. And it was that breath. And just like it was Sarai, and it was changed from Sarai to Sarah. And again, it was the breath of God. It was the Spirit of God breathing over them that transformed them. And that's from a spiritual sense. I think from a different perspective, he was known as exalted father. Abram means exalted father, and exalted by way of pride because he didn't have any children. And God was doing a transforming work in a very practical way and transforming him to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude, because now he's going to actually give him descendants. And he was changing Sarai from meaning contentious, one who likes to fight all the time, the wife who likes to fight all the time, into one who is... sorry about that, into one who is now a young princess. So one from going from one extreme to the other extreme because the hand of God and the breath of God is over their lives.
Amen. Amen. So he
said, I just hear all the married men say amen.
So God saw him, God saw Abraham, and God called him out. Abraham obeyed in a way that was not done before, that he had not seen before, but he obeyed, and God made a covenant with him. A lot a lot like the covenant, you know, it looks a lot like the covenant that God is making with every single one of us, that God is ready to make at least with every single one of us. A covenant that's based on his goodness, not based on my work. A covenant that's based on his love and the plans and the future that he has for me, not at what I'm looking at in terms of my own ability. Because sometimes I look at my ability and say, who are you talking to? Me? But he says, yeah, I'm talking to you because I see what I can do through your life. I can see what I can do through you if you just believe me, if you just get on with me and take this journey of faith with me. You know, Abraham had to leave from one place to another for God to completely empty himself from everything in the past so God can fill him up with everything that's for the future. Amen. And this is the same thing that's happening to us. Why are we talking about this again? Because it's a good reminder. Just like the Levites were preaching this, sharing this, it's good for us to share it with each other, to remind each other of all these things, that our God is still the God of covenant, that our God is still the God of promises, that our God is still able, and he's looking for something small that it says, Fatila mudakhina la yatfa.
Smoking flask, he does not quench, and a bruised reed, he does not break.
Okay. I was actually pointing to Pastor Mike to translate, but okay. He took that from you. He wouldn't give you a chance, Pastor Mike. Anyway, so yeah.
I don't think Brother Mike knows.
Oh, he knows. He texts me in Arabic now.
That Google Translate.
So God, they're starting with Abraham. They're starting with the beginning of the story. Then they're in verse 9, he says, you saw the suffering of our ancestors in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. And this is just another comforting statement that God sees the suffering. God sees the pain. God hears the cries. He is not too far. He is always always near. He's always listening. He's always looking. He's always working. It's just the matter of time. It's just a matter of time. At the perfect time, God will send salvation. At the perfect time, just comfort yourself with this today as I'm reading it, and I'm comforting myself with it as well. The same God who heard the cries of the Israelites in Egypt, the same God who went and spoke to them is the same God that's listening to us right now. Listening to your heart, listening to my heart, the same God that will deliver. Okay? Why don't you say this to yourself right now? God will deliver me. No, to yourself. I didn't tell you to tell Delia. You to yourself. You just want to talk to her? God will deliver me. God is listening to me. God is working. And he will deliver. And verse 10, you sent, and I love this because it really matches what Pastor Albert was talking about last Sunday. You sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people of his land. For you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You know, the land of Egypt, Pharaoh and all the magicians, that was their game. Their game was wonder and magic and all these things. God goes there and beats them at their own game. And let me take this back to Pastor Albert so we can share a little bit of what that meant because he just shared it on Sunday.
Wait, what am I sharing?
What God did to Pharaoh and Egyptians, like all the signs and wonders that God beat them at their own game.
Yeah, so we know that God brought 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, upon Pharaoh, and gave him chance after chance. And it's strategic how he did each and every single one, because by attacking each of the different elements, God was really toppling one of their pagan idols. They were idol worshipers. They had many different deities that they worshipped in Egypt. So God was toppling them one at a time and letting Pharaoh know who is really in control, who is really the God of protection, who is really the God of provision, who is really the God of fertility, who is really the God that gives and offers and extends grace and so on. So he was toppling them one after the next. If we were to actually take time and study each of the 10 plagues. And so here, God is showing how amazingly strong and powerful that he is.
Amen. And not only that, God is defeating this arrogant enemy in front of them, this arrogant, powerful, strong enemy in front of them. God saw how arrogant they are, and he decided to humble them. That's for the Egyptians, but for the Israelites and for you and I, this is an encouragement, because the higher and the stronger and the more powerful the enemy that you will face, the situation you face, the more... Oh, what happened? God will humble it before you for a reason. That next time you face a strong enemy, next time you face a strong situation, next time you face a strong circumstances, you know that your God is able to deliver you from this situation, from this enemy, from this circumstances, just like he delivered you from Pharaoh and his troops. And God's name carried so much power, and it remained, you made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. God's name remains so powerful, so strong, we are allowed to use it. We are allowed to hold on to it. We are allowed, as his children, to call it when we have to. Call your father. You know, call him because he said, call me, I am near, call me, and I hear you and I will respond. He said, call upon my name, the name that's very strong, the name that delivered the Israelites. In verse 11, you divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground, but you hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. God opened doors out of nowhere. So when it's all shut in front of you and in front of me, when the sea is right in front of you and the enemy is in behind you, when the ship is starting to be filled with water and it's starting to break, when the enemy is surrounding you from every direction, and I know and you know that we can't see a way out, trust me and trust the word of God. He has a way out. You know, that dry ground that they walked on was covered with what? With water. They didn't see it, right? And they couldn't see it. And they shouldn't see it because it's covered with water. God saw it. God has a way out. God has salvation. God has a solution for everything that you and I go through, even if we're not seeing, even when it seems completely impossible. But here is more importantly, that obstacle that you see in front of you will become the ultimate solution for your biggest problem. You see the sea as your biggest problem, right? Because you're trying to run away. The enemy's behind you. There is only one direction, but that direction is filled with what? With water. You see this as your biggest obstacle. Sometimes your biggest obstacle is the ultimate solution for your biggest problem. Because what happened in that water? God opened the door, you walked through it, and then what happened? What happened to the enemy? They all drowned in that water. So all of your fear, all of your worry, all of the things that have been threatening you, all of the things that are keeping you up at night, your biggest enemy will be drowning in the water that God will split wide open for you. And then in verse 12, it says, by day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the way they were to take. And Brother Larry was just talking to us about this in the beginning of the meeting, before we even start the meeting. We were talking about something completely different, and he was just talking to us about this in the wilderness, in the desert, God's presence with them, that he was their shelter. He had covering over their head, and he had a pillar to lead them. What else What else do we need? When God becomes our dwelling place, when God becomes our covering, you know, what was it? First Samuel, I think 22 or something like that. When it talks about the men that came to David, and they took refuge in him, or like they you know, all the rejected, all those who were in debt, all this, you know, David was not in the mansion yet. David was living in a cave, right? But he didn't live a life of a caveman. You know, he didn't live in the mansion. He didn't have the crown. He didn't have any of it. But his eyes were so fixed on God. His eyes were so fixed on God's dwelling place, the presence of God, that so many people were so attracted to his lifestyle, even though physically he was living where? In a cave. He was running away. He was a fugitive? Yeah. Something. Yeah, he was a fugitive. But his life was so attractive that those people came and decided to join him. You know, it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter what we have. What matters is that Brother Larry was sharing, that we have the presence of God with us. And that's what makes the difference. That's what made difference in David's life. And here we see it one more time. You know, that they're in the wilderness. This son should have killed them all. Let's be honest. This son should have killed every single one of them. I don't know if any of you have been in the sun in Egypt. It's not fun. It's not easy to be going around for 40 years, but God was their shelter in these 40 years. Verse 13, you came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. You made known to them your holy Sabbath, and you gave them commands, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. See, when God took them out of Egypt, he heard them. Now it's time for them to hear him. He heard them, you know, they heard them through Moses that God is going to save you. That's great. Now we're saved. Now what do? Now we have communication with God. Now we talk back and forth to God. God is coming down to them to meet with them, to talk to them, to give them commands and regulations and laws, not to suffocate them. This written word of God is not to suffocate us. This written word of God is not to take the fun away from us. This written word of God is not here to give us a hard time. This is here because it's just and it's good and it's right for us. It's here to help us. It's here to advance us. It's here to give us direction and to open our eyes. God came down to spoke to them, came down and spoke. Do we move from where we are to speak back to God? He's speaking to us. God's speaking to us. He's speaking to us through the word of God. He's speaking to us through songs. He's speaking to us through so many things. Do we reply back to him?
You know, not all of us hear God in the same way that Moses heard God in this instance. That Moses had an audible voice, a vision. It wasn't just he saw the face of God, right? And not all of us have that experience. As in the story, the majority, you know, everybody that was there, the Israelites that were there heard about what God said through Moses, right? So it's an important piece, I think, for us to remember that not all of us hear God in this audible way. Actually, very few of us, and in our lifetime, maybe I remember hearing a story that Billy Graham said that in his entire life he felt like he had an audible voice from the Lord or heard God's voice maybe once or twice. And so that's not necessarily like a normal thing, but it's important for us to recognize the ways in which we can hear God. And this, it's funny because as I was almost reading this, I thought, they heard God's voice through his written word here. Moses received these words from God. He wrote it down and he wrote it and the people read it. And so the same is still true for us. We can hear what God has to say for us through his word. Another way is to hear what God has to say to us through his people. Maybe somebody that's close to us in our lives, maybe as we attend church regularly, as we have friendships that God is using specifically in our lives, our husbands, our wives, our children even, that God is using people around us. And God often uses our circumstance. And then there's our conscience, our spirit that God has sort of put breath into and said, hey, I'm gonna speak to you in a still small voice through my spirit that lives in you. So it's just important that we're sort of understanding that if we're not hearing the audible voice of God, that's okay, because God is speaking to us in different ways.
And you know, God, when God's speaking, he's not just giving commands and laws and regulations, but he's always giving them rest. He's telling them rest. You know, I got this. I am taking care of this. You know, that day that you're going to take off, that day you're going to take, just spend with me, spend with your family, spend, you know, alone by, you know, or by yourself. That day, I got it covered for you. You need to trust me during your rest. You know, one of my biggest problems, and I'm telling you this to pray for me when you remember, one of my biggest problems is to take rest. I don't allow myself to take rest. Mm-hmm. You know, I am out, like we took 2 days away the other last week, and we needed it. Dean and I needed it. You know, we needed to be away. We needed to be together. It's and I'm having so much fun, you know, together, but my mind doesn't stop. You know, the business, the you know, the kids and this and that, and I'm not really allowing myself to take rest until I started learning how to pray, Lord, this is all yours. You take care of it. And today I'm just going to accept and be thankful for this couple of days that you're giving me off. You know, rest is very, very important because it's a sign of trusting God during that day. I'm trusting God that things are going to be fine. I'm spending time with him and with my family, with my friends, just to enjoy my time without having chores or work that I have to do. It's very important to trust God with that, as well as we trust him, as much as we trust him with everything else. And then finally in verse 15, and then we'll open it up for questions and comments. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. I love the water from the rock. You told them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. See, 4 years, God is providing for thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Every single morning, it gives you such comfort. Maybe the first week, you're like, look, it's food again. Maybe the first month, you know what? There's food again. But maybe after a year or two, they expected the food. They got it. They understand that God will provide for them. But that could be dangerous. That could be dangerous sometimes. It's good to have faith. It's good to have trust that we're here. Every breath that we're taking right now, because it's a provision from God. Every roof that we're seeing on top of our head right now, please look at it. That's a provision from God. Everything that we're wearing right now, that's a provision from God as well. Everything that we have. So right now, they're remembering God's provision during the wilderness, where there is no place to buy, no money to buy, no place to raise anything, but God provided for them. And not only provided food, but in provided future and hope. Go and take that land. I told you to take it. You know, you're not just living to eat, drink, and die. No, you're going to live, eat and drink and wear, you know, be clothed and all of that. I got that taken care of. But you're living for another purpose. And that purpose is to go and inherit the land I gave you. to go and spread the word of God in the land I gave you, to go and eliminate all the satanic and the demonic worship from the land I created and fill it with praise and worship. Fill it with prayers, fill it with love, fill it with a lot of things that are from me. Take all the old and bring in all the new. All right, so we're going to end at verse 15 today. Next week, we're going to start at 16. We have a few minutes. If anyone has any questions or comments, please feel free.
Could I approach what you were saying specifically about that the Lord provides? And I'm going to break it down about three little points. In Genesis 22:13, we see that the ram that Father Abraham used, and that's the first time we hear Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will see and provide. Then during Moses' time, we see that the ram was the animal that was used for the consecration of the priesthood, which is a symbol indicating the Lord Jesus and his consecration to the work of the ministry. He is the ram. Now this ram took on the position of consecration, provision, and substitution, whereas before it was just he was a substitution and provision. So we see the added consecration added to this. We fast forward and we see Jesus after he had been tested for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, that John the Baptist saw him and proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now, the Lamb is brought in because Christ was meek, lowly, submissive to the Father's will, but he was also a ram that was vigorous, strong, and determined to do the Father's will. We as believers are sheep of his pasture and should be as the ram in our consecration to follow Christ, where our cry should be, "Not my will, but your will." I believe that this progression is also a part of what he's doing in the body of Arise. Revival is good for us as believers, but revival is also to equip us for the ingathering of the harvest. We see in chapter 8 that they were celebrating the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's a beautiful picture when we look at how the festivities or the appointed times that God wanted the children of Israel to celebrate, whereas in the first month, he was, then Pentecost, he is, and in the seventh month, he is to come. So in preparation of what God is doing, we're right in alignment with his timetable as to what he's building according to Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it in vain. So it's just awesome how here I have been busy at other things that I believe I should be doing. And yet, I'm always amazed at how our hearts are just it beats the same when it comes to God's kingdom, and to him be all the glory, because his plan will be fulfilled. Now, whether if I see arise, become the mighty army that God's going to build, I'm seeing it already in my heart, so I'm satisfied. But if I am physically here, well, glory to God. You know what I mean? But either way, I just wanted to put the same provision, but using the symbol of the lamb and the ram, because we are priests. We are the lambs. We should be submissive to the Lord's will, but we should be that vigorous, we should be that strong and determined ram, that nothing's gonna get me away from fulfilling God's will. And may God give us that strength and boldness and courage to glorify his name and his kingdom.
I also pray, like we touched on a lot of things today. I also pray that our life individually and as a church would be so loud and clear, representing something of God. You know, that just the mention of our names or our families or our church, this isn't pride. This is just being available and being loud for God. I pray that. I pray that we understand and we know and we trust that God is always working. God is always listening. God is not too far from us. God is just like Abraham. He's looking in this whole earth. He's looking for a small, you know, he's looking for a heart that has even the smallest amount of faith. And he can use that. And he can bring millions and millions out of that small heart of faith or belief. I pray that we understand individually as and also as a church that God will provide, that God is with us, that his presence is the most important thing. His presence can lead us during this wilderness, can lead us during this life that we're living through the difficult times, that our biggest obstacle will be the solution for our biggest problem. God has got this for us. He can see it. He can see the door that he's going to open. He has it. He's planned it from everlasting to everlasting. He knows the plan from the beginning all the way to the end. You and I will be surprised every step of the way. He's not surprised once. And here I am. I'll go on to preaching again. Well, if anyone else has any comments or questions, if not, and we can end with prayers. Anyone? One, two, three. Dina will pray.
Lord, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you that you're opening up your word to be a light to our day here today, that it's applicable to us right now. Lord, I thank you for the things you're teaching us through your scripture. Lord, I pray you would continue to open those things up to us, that you would continue to use Assam and Albert and Dalia and Mike and Brother Larry and all of those on this call, Lord, that you would use us to really bring your word to life, Lord, that we would see it produce the fruit that it can produce. And Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. We worship you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, good night, everyone. And we will see you next week. We'll see you Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Hi, everybody.
Good night.